AFAstreaming.afa.net has now become AFA Stream, and you can find it at stream.afa.net. You see, we removed the letters ing. Our experts have determined that eliminating those three keystrokes, multiplied over hundreds of thousands of AFA Stream visits, could reduce the national debt and maybe increase the gross domestic product. AFA Stream, formerly streaming.afa.net. Improvements to the economy are purely theoretical.
The Bible. It's the Word of God, sharper than any two-edged sword. This sacred book is living and active and contains all that's needed for life and godliness. Welcome to Exploring the Word. Merry Christmas.
It is that Christmas time, and we're in the book of Micah that tells us how important Bethlehem would be. It was an important town way back in the Old Testament, but it would become even more important. Well, in Micah chapter 2, today we'll find out a God was saying to them concerning their greed and their false beliefs. And those two things are very severe in the eyes of God. This is Bert Harper along with Dr. Alex McFarland. And if you have a copy of the Word of God and it's where you can, I think you'll enjoy following along in the book of Micah. There are some scriptures here that I think you would highlight and say, okay, this applies to me where I am today. Alex, it's good to have you. Where are you today, brother?
Well, I've been on a Zoom call for a while with the AFA board meeting, and I'm actually in Colorado right now looking at about a foot of snow.
Okay.
And that's why I'm not in Tupelo.
Yeah.
But it's good to be with you. And, you know, it's good to be in the book of Micah. I was reading ahead, and, you know, there is so much in this. It's kind of a short book. It's not a huge book. Micah chapter 7, I was looking about. And there's judgment of sin, but there's promise of restoration. And, of course, we're tying into some of the promises of Jesus' birth. C.S. Lewis had a quote about, you know, Ruth and Boaz were in Bethlehem, and Obed and Jesse and David came, and ultimately Jesus would be born in Bethlehem. And C.S. Lewis, among others, he said it is all so specific that at a specific place, in a specific point in time, in response to specific promises, a specific person was born, the God-man. And this is why we do what we do, because it is true. And it is the most important circumstance and happening in all of history, isn't it?
It really is. And they're trying to do away with it. They call it the Common Era, you know, CE or BCE before the Common Era. And I'd say, and I've asked them, I said, okay, what is this Common Era? What marks the beginning of one and the ending of the other? And Alex, you just can't get away from it. It is Jesus Christ. He came on the greatest rescue mission ever. And he came to a little town called Bethlehem. Well, in chapter 2, we have Micah speaking, and he's talking about the greed. In verses 1 through 5, you'll find the greed, but you'll also find it some more in the others, but it's also false teaching. So when I hear that, I know that Micah really was pinpointing their sin. Go ahead, brother.
Yeah, let me read a little bit about this, you know, because God raises up preachers, but there's really correction or condemnation of false prophets. Let me say this in verse 5, therefore you will have no one in the assembly of the Lord to divide the land by lot. You know, let me just say what went on in the temple was indicative of also what would go on out in the land. The rule of law, order, civility, the boundary lines of property. Okay, verse 6, do not preach, they preach, do not preach these things. Disgrace will not overtake us. Should it be said, O house of Jacob, is the Spirit of the Lord impatient, and these are the things that he does? Do not my words bring good to him who walks uprightly? So here's the thing, there's just this arrogance. You know, don't preach to us. Judgment, disgrace, repercussions, they're not going to overtake me. And, you know, the Spirit of the Lord is going to work and convict, and God is going to do the things that he says he's going to do. Now, here is a question in verse 7 of Micah 2. Do not my words bring good to him who walks uprightly? And the answer is yes. There is blessing and goodness for the one who heeds the word of God. But, Bert, this tension goes on today. People know the truth, but they push back against it. And very often people, they know what they ought to do. And I think the Holy Spirit of God is knocking on the door of people's heart all day long and people's conscience. And of course, the Word of God is tells us in unmistakable clarity how we ought to live. But people then, people now, they say, well, disgrace will not come upon me, but yet it does.
It really does. And what brought this false teaching on and them wanting it is what they were doing to what God didn't want them to do, and that's revealed in the first five verses. Alex, listen to this in verse 1. Woe to those who devise iniquity, and then they work out evil in their beds. They work out that plan. At morning light, they practice it because it is in their power of their hand. There was these great men. When I say great men, I'm talking about their wealth. And they were taking advantage of it. And that's one of the things God did not want them to do. He wanted this to have some time when there was equal sharing. Now, this is not communism, but it was a device to keep one person or a few individuals becoming so powerful that they could do what? They could take away people's homes, that they could take away their fields without any repercussions. And so here it is. That verse 1 really got me. They lay in their beds planning evil, and then they wake up and practice it. It reminds me a lot about what it said about Noah's day. You know, that's what they thought continually, evil continually, in their bed, how they could do it. And they would seize the houses. They oppress a man in his house, a man in his inheritance. Now, when you see that inheritance, you see that every year of Jubilee, that land that people had been able to get in through wealth at that time, it would be given back to the original owners that was given, so that there would be this time where you would not have generational poverty in that area. In other words, if a person lost their land, they had nothing to do. They had no way of regaining it. But because of the year of Jubilee, it would go back to the original owners, and then the those people that followed those who originally had it would have the opportunity to make something of it. Alex, I see this God taking care of individuals, those that, and I think that's what it talks about Bethlehem, because in chapter 5, 2, though you be one of many, though you be small compared to everybody else, out of you will come the ruler. So here we find God saying, listen, I'm interested in everyone. And these men that were taking advantage of this through the finances and then not correcting, following the law, it was leaving disaster. Listen to verse 3. Behold, against this family, I'm devising disaster. God's going to take care of those. If you are just living your life for money, if you're living your life for power and control, there's going to be a day when you're going to have to give an answer to God.
Well, you know how when you and I were starting talking about Micah, you said he's a prophet, but he's a poet. You remember you said that?
I did, yes.
There is some wordplay here that is just brilliant. And, you know, good preaching and forthtelling the Word of God is always a blessing. But when it's done artfully, Micah is great. Okay, at the beginning of Micah chapter 2, he says, you know, woe to those that basically lie in bed and think up evil schemes, and at morning light they practice it. This is in verse 1. But you go down there later on, and it talks about verse 8, lately my people have risen up as an enemy fighting against God. In other words, it's like, well, you rise up out of the bed, but you're rising up to do evil. Like, what's my to-do list today to keep sinning? You know, rising up as you rise up. But here is something that's just priceless, and I know we're kind of going back and forth. talking about those who prophesy, verse 6, do not prattle, you say to those who prophesy. You know, don't tell me the truth. You know, just tell me what I want to hear.
Having itching ears?
Exactly.
Yeah, go ahead.
Exactly. Now, how does your translation render verse 11?
Okay.
This is awesome.
If a man should walk in a false spirit and speak a lie, saying, I will prophesy to you of wine and drink, even he would be the prattler of this people.
Okay. Folks, a preacher that tells you what is false, and we've lived that in our generation. Oh, my goodness. I mean, we've had ordained ministers in pulpits preaching for gay marriage, transgenderism, abortion. We've had ordained ministers pastoring and denominational leaders that said Christians and Muslims worship the same God. I mean, it's terrible, terrible. But even way back then, they're saying, look, if a man comes in and preaches, hey, wine, get drunk, immorality, hey, he'd be the prattler preacher for you. But right now, here's the thing. In verse 11, like the New King James renders it, if a man should walk in a false spirit. Now, there's two words for the spirit or the breath in a person. There's nephesh, which is like the breath of God. God breathed into Adam, and Adam became a living soul. But then there's another word that's just the wind in your lungs. But some translations say, if a man of wind comes in and preaches to you. And it's not the word for, you know, God's spirit within
right.
you. It's the word, it's basically Micah is saying, look, if some blowhard says to you, and there's been a lot of speakers and preachers that have moved a lot of wind, and I don't want to be one of those. We want to proclaim truth. But I got to tell you, verse 11, as I really dug into it, made me smile. A man of wind. And it might behoove us to ask what kind of preachers we sit under Sunday morning. Somebody who's giving the eternal, infallible word of God, or just pushing air.
Alex, it is so true. And so what does that mean? I'm just going to go back because there's two or three things in the first five verses I just don't want to avoid. Because of that, and this, what is preached and what is believed is justifying what they're doing. That's what they're wanting. What you're saying these false prophets are doing and what they want is someone that will be okay with what they're practicing in their business life, in their personal life, because that's what they're talking about. Verse 3, they shall walk haughtily, that they're proud of what they're doing. Look what I have attained in my life. I've gotten this land. Didn't matter how they got it. They cheated. They robbed. That didn't matter. They was proud of what they had and what they owned, regardless of the way in which they got it. It says, we are utterly destroyed. They're going to be destroyed. God's going to take care of them. But there's a word in verse 4, to a turncoat, he has divided our fields. This is a turncoat turning back an apostate. In other words, what we're looking at, these prophets who are justifying these practices that are being done to the people when God says, oh, no. And it's just like you said, those that would say, oh, it's all right, transgenderism, and somebody say that, marriage, it doesn't matter. Yes, it does matter. So they want to have them surrounded by people who are teaching and speaking hot air, justifying what they're practicing. So they are going together. What you preach and how you walk and talk, isn't that what chapter 2's about, the walk and then the talk?
It needs to be authentic, and it needs to be in line with the Word of God. Well, this is Exploring the Word. Bert Harper and Alex McFarland. We're in Micah. Plus, we'll take calls and Bible questions. Hey, if you've never called in before with a Bible question, today would be a good day to do it. And we might just pray some, too. So stay tuned.
A recent study reports that the rapidly declining global birth rate will lead to a major population crisis if birth rates continue to decline. Their massive support for Planned Parenthood is all a part of their plan. While we may feel hopeless in the constant attack on life, there is an amazing way to fight back. When they shout abortion, we shout life. Preborn is leading the way. Every day, their network rescues 200 babies. You see, when a mother meets her baby on ultrasound and hears the heartbeat, a baby's chance at life doubles. The ultrasound is the secret weapon that joins a mother's heart to her child. Preborn provides ultrasounds for clinics in the highest abortion areas. Can we join hands nationwide for life? One ultrasound is just $28, but any gift will help. $5,000 will underwrite ultrasounds for the entire network for a day. All gifts are tax deductible. To donate, dial #250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250 baby, or visit preborn.com/AFR. That's preborn.com/AFR.
Welcome back. You're listening to Exploring the Word on American Family Radio. Merry Christmas.
Welcome back to Exploring the Word. Alex and Bert, so honored that you're listening. Oh, I love that Christmas music. Brent Austin is our producer, and all this music, we call it like a punch-out. That's when you go away to a commercial, and a rejoin. And on the rejoins, we all have all this real good music. And Bert, we love Christmas, and Brent does a good job all the way around, doesn't he?
Well, yeah, he does. I joke it. Hey, we have fun here, and part of the fun is saying, hey, watch it. But Brent is awesome. He's a great producer, great board op. Marty is Sparks is our guy Sparks. Watching, I mean, getting us on camera. He's got, it doesn't have a lot to work with, but he gets the most out of it. And then we have different ones that answer the phone. So it is a group project, and that we have Exploring the Word besides all the engineers. So yeah. We thank God for those who are listening. It wouldn't do any good if we didn't have any listeners, Alex.
Well, amen. And let me say this. It's Christmas time, and I want to just make sure that I'm on record saying this. I've got the privilege. I do a lot of things. Like tonight, I'll be on the Hamilton Corner, which is a great honor. And sometimes I'll do the Jenna Ellis program in the mornings. And very often, I'm on Today's Issues. Once in a while, I'm on Real Truth for Today, the Jeff Shreve Show. So I don't know who all works when, but there's Brent Austin, there's Marty Sparks, there's Jeff McIntosh, Bobby Rosa, Adam Suddeth, Devin Patrick, and forgive me if I'm forgetting anybody, but there's a real incredibly dedicated team of people that they go the extra mile to try to make guys like you and me ready to get out there on the airwaves. And of course, as you said, the people throughout the USA that listen. We love you. We thank God for each and every one of you.
We do. And twice a year we have Share-a-thon where people call in and they make their pledges. And many times it's monthly. It comes in. And we just got through sending out a whole lot of Christmas cards. I'm talking about everybody gathers around tables, stuffing those cards and putting the stamps on them. And then we take the post office and they're sent out all over the United States. And It's just an awesome thing to have such a family. I'm glad we're called the American Family Association because, Alex, I feel like that's what it is, brother.
Well, amen. You know what? I don't want to get us off. We're in Micah chapter 2. I'm holding up a piece of paper right now, just a little piece of paper. Somebody wrote in and said, God is using you, the show Exploring the Word, in a great way. I listen. God is glorified in what you all are doing. Many people are coming to Christ. I'm pleased with your show, and it has touched my life. And this is a lady that wrote in, and I get these little pieces of paper just all the time. And we give God the glory because, let me say this, the Word of God does touch lives, and it's touched our lives. And we are in Micah chapter 2, but I don't know, Christmas, there's so much to be thankful for.
Amen.
But hey, let me read something there, because the people, it says they lay in bed devising evil. And God says, well, I'm devising something against you, which you cannot remove from your necks. You walk haughtily, for this is an evil time. I went backwards a little bit. But the word haughty is a word you see like in the old King James, but it's an arrogance. And it's this assumption that God doesn't see what you do, or even if God does see, he's not going to do anything about it. But God is very patient. God has a lot of mercy, but God's judgment does not sleep forever, you know. And Bert, I just feel like we're living in an evil age where people don't take sin seriously. Now, we reported yesterday on how Bible sales are up 22% and 41% over the last 4 or 5 years. And so I don't know, maybe the Spirit of God is beginning to move and people are beginning to feel a little bit of conviction. But
I think they're looking for answers, solid. I read an article on it, and I don't want to get us off too far, but you said that I want to make sure and remember where you are. I'm just wanting to promote this. It says they're looking for something that is solid. In other words, this wokeness, this attitude of political correctness, this attitude, well, your truth, my truth, that they're seeing that they're, man, what is that? That's so fluid. There's no standard. It's like moving the goalpost in a football game, changing the rules in the middle of the game. And so they're looking for something that is solid. And I read another article, even a Catholic church, a lot of the people who had left, they're coming back because they're looking for something that is stable. And in this looking for the stability of it, the Word of God is centerpiece. And that's what it is. And so, Alex, I think there is hope here. And this is what Micah does. Now, he gives it to them about what they're doing wrong, but just telling them what they're doing wrong without correction and without hope leads to even more hopelessness. Well, what's the use? And so this is good preaching. I know it's written, it's good preaching. I don't want to get away from verse 9. If you don't mind, could I read this real quickly? Because I think this is a centerpiece of what you have with false teaching and then greed. Here it is. The women of my people you cast out from their pleasant houses, from their children. You have taken away my glory forever. This is who are the most vulnerable? The women and the children.
Yeah.
And he said, you don't care. You have no heart. Even if you didn't want to obey my law, look like you could look at these people and what you're doing to them, and you would want to correct that. You would want to turn away from that. But, Alex, here it is. In the New Testament, James talks about that, doesn't he, about the widows and about the children. And these are the most vulnerable. So when false teaching and greed combine, the most vulnerable and the weakest are the ones that suffer the most.
Well, amen. And, you know, that's one of the things that benevolence, looking after widows and the fatherless, orphans and children, the Word of God tells us to do that. And Christians throughout the centuries have led out in doing that. And I've said a time or two that I was on a program back in May, and I was being interviewed by somebody who was being just all critical about the church. The church is guilty of this and that. And I did some research with MinistryWatch.com and a number of other foundations, found out that 82% of all the philanthropic giving, charitable giving, and I'm talking besides gospel ministry, we know Christians support the Great Commission, but I'm just talking about charitable giving, you know, feeding the hungry and homeless shelters and things like that, and orphanages. 82% is given by Christians. Isn't that something?
That shouldn't surprise us, you know?
Yeah. And because of Matthew 25, and I know I'm repetitious, I've said it many times, but the Bible tells us that when we do things as unto the Lord, when we give a cup of cold water in Jesus' name, and we minister to the hurting and the helpless, it's as if we're doing it directly for and to the Lord. But there is a promise of restoration. You know, we talked about in verse 9 that the women and the children were cast out. Verse 9, you have taken away my glory forever. Bert, sin among God's people grieves the heart of the Lord, doesn't it?
It really does. And notice what 10, and it's each one of these is powerful when you look behind it. Like you was talking about, you was looking at that in verse 6 about how they were, and you look at the word haughtily, and you look at all these words are important. But listen to verse 10, arise and depart. For this is not your rest, because it is defiled, it shall destroy you, even with your utter destruction. Now the rest was the land. God had let them wander in the wilderness for 40 years because of their decision at Kadesh Barnea to not follow the Lord in faith, and a whole generation had to die out, and now they were ready to go into the land. And in this land, as they would take it, God had already given it to them. Didn't mean the battle would not take place, but it was theirs, and they would go in, and this would be their rest. And it says, this is not your rest. I'm taking it away from you. I gave it to you, and I gave you conditions by which you could continue in it and have it, and you have done it. And because it is defiled, it shall destroy you. This land is going to spit you out. And we're talking about the Assyrians taking the northern tribes, Alex, and we're talking about the Babylonian coming in and taking them captive. And so here is the result of sin. And what is it? The two things that really make it up is greed and false teaching. Now, greed is wanting my way. That can be financial. It can be control. It can be my personal thoughts of, I know I'm a man, but I want to be a woman. That's still in that same category. And then the false teaching is devising plans by which you feel good about doing the evil that you're doing. And here, I mean, Micah just pours it on, said, no, this is not. The glory is gone away forever. And that was the result.
You know, I was reading this, Bert, as you were talking, verse 10. Folks, Micah 2:10, God says, arise and depart, for this is not your rest. One of the wisest things you can do is to evaluate, is this the right thing for me as a Christian to do? Now, that word rest, R-E-S-T, in the original language, it means your repose or your place of tranquility or the place you settle down. Bert, I looked up this word. All right, here's the thing. Psychologists say we all have felt needs. And broadly speaking, there are three needs: acceptance, significance, security. We want to feel like we fit in. We want to feel like we matter. And we want to feel like we're safe and we can relax. Now, let me say, if to the teens listening, maybe you want to be with the crowd, that the popular crowd or the crowd that parties or whatever. Acceptance in the wrong place. Micah 2:10 might be saying, this is not your rest. That's not who you need to run around with. And there are 10 million things. Look, let me just say this. G.K. Chesterton said, there's 10,000 ways to go to hell. There's one way to go to heaven, through Jesus. Bert, that inappropriate relationship, that substance abuse, that whatever, if you're a Christian, you're going to have to trust that God knows what is best for you. And there just may be, you're settling down in a place that is not your rest ordained by God. Do you see what I'm pulling out of that verse there, Bert?
It is. It's powerful. The best may not be easy. Just remember that. A lot of times, God's way is best. That means it's easy. No, it's not. And so here it is, this rest. You find rest in the place. And you talked about the lodging that place. Obedience unto him. And they had mistreated it. They had gone back against God. Again, going back to verse 4, they were turncoats. They had turncoat on God, brother.
Yeah. Well, C.S. Lewis, I'm sorry I keep referring to him. I'm not sorry, but one time he said this. He wrote, it's not that I doubt that God's best is what he has for me, but in my flesh I ask, how painful will that best be?
That's it.
Now, let me read verse 10 again. This is not your rest. Because it is defiled, it will destroy, yea, with utter destruction. When the Lord shuts a door, or the Holy Spirit of God convicts you and says, hey, don't do that, God's not trying to withhold any good thing from you. God's protecting you from yourself, perhaps.
Amen. Well, Alex, we've got about 4 minutes, so let's look at 12 and 13. And I know the big restoration comes in the last two chapters, But even in these first two chapters, he gives this hope. That's the reason Micah, he is a prophet of hope. Even in the midst of the danger that he's telling about, the destruction, there's this hope. I want to read 12, 13 plain, then we'll turn it over and look at it. I will surely assemble all of you, O Jacob. I will surely gather the remnant of Israel. I will put them together like sheep of the fold, like a flock in the midst of their pasture. They shall make a loud noise because of so many men. The one who breaks open will come up before them. They will break out, pass through the gate, and go out by it. Their king will pass before them with the Lord at their head. Now, Alex, again, we're looking at a future restoration. Now, we know they would come back from Babylon, but that was a partial restoration. I believe this has got significance in the future, too, of this complete restoration that's going to take place in the future. Do you think both of them are involved here, at least the future restoration?
I really do, and I think that loud noise in verse 12 is joy.
Yes,
you know?
Yes.
In Hosea, a week and a half ago, we were talking about there was the mention of a donkey, orphaned, livestock let loose in the wilderness. Well, here is the fold, the sheepfold, the remnant gathered together, and it said the Lord passes before them. And I love what it says in verse 13. Let me read this because I want to tell you something else. It says here that they will break out, pass through the gate, and go by it, and their king, the king will pass before them with the Lord at their head. This is the blessing of God's restoration and redemption, but it's a blessing of the regathering too.
That's the word, isn't it, in verse 12? I surely assemble all of you.
Yes.
That's the gathering, isn't it?
Did you ever hear there was an old gospel song called What a Meeting in the Air?
Yeah, I remember that one.
See, there's a big gathering coming up, and God wants you to be there. And God has sent you a cordial invitation. It simply says, whosoever will may come. Bert, anyone who puts their faith in the shepherd can be in that sheepfold one day with the chief shepherd, Jesus.
Amen. And listen, he desires you to come unto him. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. If you haven't come to Christ, I want you to know you can trust him today. Alex, we're going to take phone calls, and that number, if you have a Bible question, is 888-589-8840. And Alex already said it. We may have some that have prayer requests. We'd love to hear it today.
You've heard a lot about saving babies on this show. That's because it's important to me personally. And let me just be frank with you. We need to save them. That is why we've partnered with Preborn, the nation's leader in introducing mothers with unplanned pregnancies to their babies. And once she hears that heartbeat and sees that precious life growing inside of her, she is twice as likely to choose life. Now that's a miracle. But quite honestly, if we don't save them, who will? Preborn receives no government funding, so their work is completely dependent on us. Preborn has rescued over 280,000 babies. And that's not all. They provide love, support, and counseling for up to 2 years for free, saving lives and souls. One ultrasound is just $28, or 140 helps to rescue 5 babies. Abortion doesn't stop, so we can't. Together, you and I can save lives. Just call #250 on your cell phone and say the keyword baby. That's 250 baby, or go to preborn.com. That's preborn.com.
Welcome back. You're listening to Exploring the Word on American Family Radio. Merry Christmas.
Welcome back to Exploring the Word, Silent Night. Let me just tell you, next week, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday of next week, and Friday, they're going to be special editions of Exploring the Word. And we're going to have complete songs on three different songs, one on Tuesday, one on Wednesday, and one on Thursday. These are Alex's, Brent's, and mine favorite Christmas songs that we could nail down. And then on Friday, let me tell you, we're turning the tables, not this Friday, but next Friday the 20th, we're turning the tables, and Alex, we're going to ask the questions. And the people are going to have to call in and answer those questions. Brent's going to have some. Brent, are you working on your questions yet?
You know I am, and they're going to be really hard. Nobody will be able to answer them.
That's so you want yours to not be answered.
I'm going to keep all those cool giveaway gifts that we've got.
Yeah.
And we've got some great ones. Let me give that away real quick. You want to be here next Friday and listen. If you
the
don't
20th.
Want to do anything else.
The 20th, yeah.
Yes, we have some great stuff. A lot of our other shows have been really gracious, and we love them to death, and they've given us some great things to give away.
Yeah, and we've had 20 to 21 callers on Fridays before, but that's when we were answering the questions. I got a feeling we may break that record, Alex, and we want to have as many people call in to answer our questions, and everyone that calls in will get a gift, so we're looking forward to that. So that's next week. Yeah,
brush up on your Christmas facts, your Christmas trivia. It could be anything. The history of Christmas, songs, traditions. We love it. It's going to be fun.
We do. Well, listen, that number, and we do have plenty of lines open. If you've got a prayer request, if you've got a Bible question, 888-589-8840, 888-589-8840. Well, let's go to Kansas. Okay, here. I'm having trouble getting that. Brent, see if you can click it on for me. I'm gone.
Yeah, we should have it. Fred, are you with us? Fred from Kansas.
I'm here.
Okay, good. I got you back, Fred. Thank you for waiting. But you have a question or something for us today?
I do. I just wanted to mention that Kansas is the heartland of America. We would listen to you a lot and enjoy your show.
Well, listen, Kansas is a great, great town, city, or state. I'll get it right after a while. Alex and has been there. I've been there, and we appreciate it. Okay, February. So, Fred, thank you for calling in. What you got for us today?
My question is there a good resource that talks about the different brothers of the Bible, like Cain and Abel, Jacob and Esau, lessons that they learned or their lives?
Let me just say this, and I don't know if he has this. It may be just all the men of the Bible or the women of the Bible. Herbert Lockyer, Alex, yes. We've referred to him. Seemed like he had, it may have been him or somebody else. I cannot remember. Do you know of a resource like that?
You know, I was just thinking about that. I mean, if anybody did it, he would have done it because Herbert Lockyer, and it was Lockyear, great author. All right, there's a book here called Brothers of the Bible, and it's by James, A-U-C-H-M-U-T-Y, James A. Auchmuty, I'm going to get A-U-C-H-M-U-T-Y, the author's name. I'm not familiar with that book. I can't say yay or nay. It's probably a fine book. But, you know, I want to look. Herbert Lockyer, he did a series of like all the women of the Bible and all the prayers of the Bible. But, you know, the caller makes a great point. You know, that would be a really good study, wouldn't it?
It really is. And you look at the apostles. We know there were at least three sets of brothers in that. We know James and John and Andrew and Peter, but Thomas means twin, and there are a lot of times they think, his brother. Don't know exactly which one, or they've talked about it, but they were brothers that followed Christ. And then Jesus' brothers, Jude and James, would become followers and write books that we have in the New Testament. That's Fred, thank you for that. And let me just say, if you can get a book by Herbert Lockyer, you've got a jewel. He does a good job. I've got most of his books, and he does a good job, Alex, with all of them.
I'll tell you, two brothers, hey, folks, 99% of history orbits around two brothers, Isaac and Ishmael.
Wow.
Am I right?
You're right. Hey, Fred, thank you. And thank you for calling from Kansas. The heartland. Yes, you bet. Let's go to Mississippi and talk to Bill. Bill, thank you for calling.
Hey, how are you doing today?
Doing well, brother. Where from Mississippi are you?
I'm in Brandon, Mississippi.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Great. Well, what you got for us today?
I was just telling your screener, I think AFR, AFA, you need to start a campaign with a T-shirt, and it'll be one of those good giveaways you're talking about. If it ain't Jesus, it ain't Christmas.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Write that down, Brent. Can you say that again, Bill? And Brent's going to write it down so we can make that.
If it ain't Jesus, it ain't Christmas.
Amen.
I am so sick of Santa Claus, Rudolph, elves. You know, come on, man.
Oh, man. Hey, that's let me just say, that scripture in Colossians, Alex, it talks about the shadows of the real things.
Yeah.
That's all those are. They're shadows, you know, and Jesus is the real deal. Keep Christ in Christmas. He's the reason for the season. So I agree with you, Bill. If it's not Jesus, it's not Christmas. Alex, got anything to say?
Yeah, well, you know, these commercials, they'll say the holidays, or they'll kind of very cautiously say this season ... Okay, they want the benefit of retail sales at Christmas, but without the obligation of mentioning the reason for this season, which is Christ and Christmas. I hear all these things and they'll say, you know, the holidays. I'm like, come on, say it. Be brave. Say Christ.
Amen.
Say Christmas. And I do think this year I'm seeing the word Christmas more and more. I think even corporate America is getting a little bit of courage and saying the word Christmas sometimes more than usual. Would you agree?
I agree. I'm seeing it a lot more. And again, Alex and I, we're hopeful, and we really are. We haven't experienced revival. I think we're experiencing an opportunity for God to do a great work. And we've got to turn. We've got to return to Him and His ways. And so we're praying even at Christmas we would begin to do that. Bill, thank you for calling. Take care of Brandon down there in the central part of Mississippi. Let's go to Texas and talk to Elizabeth. Elizabeth, thank you for calling.
Hi.
Yes, you're on. Go right ahead.
Okay, well, my issue is this. I married someone for 24 years, and afterwards I had an issue where I ain't gonna say issue, but he had, you know, two kids, and I had two kids. So at the end of the day, you know, he accepted my two, and I accepted his two. My husband passed after 24 years. And after he passed, well, we was building this home. Never got a chance to finish it. But we was staying in another home. So that being said, he passed. And afterwards, my stepchildren took me to court. And when they took me to court, well, it turned around in my favor. Although I won, it still don't feel like I won. You know, in other words, it's not like, oh, it's all about you and all about your children. So I thought that it would be nice to go and talk to some ministers and say, hey, why don't we, you know, try to get two people, try to get them together to talk about it. Well, one said, well, we don't do that. We do anonymous phone calls. At that time, there's a lot of spam calls going on at that time, so I don't know whether or not they called, and maybe I didn't pick up. Then there was a time where I called and got through, because
okay,
I thought I was calling my cousin that got the same name as my stepdaughter, and it wasn't. And when I realized it wasn't, and you know, the person said hello, and I said hey, and so after that the phone hung up in my face. So I turned around, I called back again. After I called back, it hung up again.
So are you looking for a way to see what you should do? I'm We're getting information, Elizabeth, and I think we've heard. So you're looking for a piece to help in your family. What advice or prayer? Which I know we'll pray for you. Alex, did you get enough of Elizabeth that you could say a word of encouragement, and then we want to pray for her, I know.
Yeah, let me just encourage you to really commit this to prayer. I know, Bert, some of the most stressful issues we're ever going to go through are family issues sometimes. And, you know, I've got a real heart for adoption and stepchildren, and then sometimes you invest in them and serve them, and then they, for a season, turn against the adoptive parent. I know it's not easy, but you know, I just pray everybody would commit to stand with this sister in prayer that God would resolve this. And I know He will. I mean, one of the ministries of the Holy Spirit is the ministry of restoration. And I know God can restore these relationships.
He can. The thing that you do while you're waiting is not to grow bitter, for sure. Do not let that ever happen, Elizabeth. Stay in the Word of God. I would suggest reading Psalms and Proverbs. Psalms will really feed your soul. Many of them will. But Proverbs will give you some guidance and leadership, even in family relations. And while you're reading, say, God, bring me some information. Bring me, as you're praying, help me see from your Word what would give me direction. So we're going to pray for that. Father, I pray for Elizabeth that you would help her. We could tell by her voice. I know we didn't get the whole story on radio. It's so hard to do that. But we got enough that we know the strain that is there, the difficulty that is there. And we're asking you to work on both sides. Bring both of them to the point of design, reconciliation, and restoration. Give Elizabeth what she needs in wisdom, in patience, and strength. And Father, we trust it, and we pray that people all over America right now is praying for her, that she would have direction in what to do next. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Elizabeth, again, thank you for your call, and we will be praying. Let's go to Tennessee and talk to Sarah. Sarah, thank you for calling.
Well, thank y'all. I was just telling the young man that screened the call that the only radio station I listen to is AFR.
Wow.
God bless you.
I take it everywhere with me. I go and I do a lot of traveling. Sometimes I can't get it in distances, and I've got it on my phone, so I'll play it on my phone. Because I can't get it on the radio. But y'all do a wonderful job. I've learned a lot through y'all. I keep learning, and I'm very proud that y'all are in one accord, and y'all just keep up the good work.
Thank you, Sarah. Listen, guess what? Alex and I are continuing to learn, too. Alex, have you learned some of the stuff since we've been doing Exploring the Word?
Oh, my goodness. I've learned so much, and I learn every week, and what a blessing. And, you know, Bert and I talk on the phone at least once a week, sometimes several times a week, and I think we're the beneficiaries. We're getting to study God's Word, and we glean nuggets. And let me just encourage, I know there are Sunday school teachers out there, and maybe, I just feel led to say this. There are people out there with teaching gifts and abilities. Volunteer at your church. And I know it's a commitment, but even to help with Bible study classes and Sunday school of all ages. And look, folks, yeah, it's going to take some work and some commitment, but you're going to be the one blessed
Amen.
In doing it.
Do it. Hey, next we're going to go to Hope in Georgia. I understand you've got a prayer request, Hope. Go right ahead.
Thank you. I had a fall injury on my leg, and it was a bone bruise, and it's serious enough now, swelling enough and bruised all the way down that I'm not able to work. And even though I'm 76, I need to work. I've been working part-time temporary for 5, sometimes 6 days a week. And then the second request is salvation for Dave and for Dawson, my my oldest and my youngest sons, and they're both going through a really, really terrible time with family relations right now. Just they're both devastated.
Well, Hope, we're going to pray for you. Let me add to this, Alex. We've got two employees here that is in the hospital. One, Josh's wife is in surgery right now with back surgery. And then we got a call, an email from one of our listeners about a friend, their son, Gleason. The brain is swelling after having an accident yesterday. So we've got a lot to pray for. Father, I pray that you'd meet these needs according to your riches in Christ. We trust you. We're praying for Hope. We pray for her two sons, God, that they'd be saved. And Father, we're praying that you'd help them in their families. And those who are sick here, help them. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Alex, it's good to be with you always. And take care of that snow out in Colorado, brother.
All right, folks. Tell somebody about exploring the Word. Most of all, tell everybody about Jesus.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.